April 16, 1927, how our Lord made the deposit of his sacramental life in the heart of the Most Holy Virgin. The great good that a life animated by the divine will can do. How, in her sorrows, the Most Holy Virgin found the secret of her strength in the divine will. I was doing the hour in which Jesus instituted the Most Holy Eucharist. And Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, when I do an act, first I look to see whether there is at least one creature in whom to place the deposit of my act, so that she may take the good I do, and keep it safe and well defended." Now, when I instituted the Most Holy Sacrament, I looked for this creature, and my Queen Mama offered herself to receive this act of mine and the deposit of this great gift, saying to me, "My son, just as I offered you my womb and my whole being in your conception, to keep you safe and defended, I now offer you my maternal heart in order to receive this great deposit, and I line up, around your sacramental life, my affections, my heartbeats, my love, my thoughts, all of myself, to keep you defended, surrounded by courage, loved, protected. I myself take on the commitment to repay you for the great gift you are giving. Trust your mama, and I will take care of the defense of your sacramental life. And since you yourself have constituted me queen of all creation, I have the right to line up around you all the light of the sun as homage and adoration, the stars, the heavens, the sea, all the inhabitants of the air. I place everything around you, to give you love and glory. Now, ensuring a place for myself in which to put this great deposit of my sacramental life, and trusting my mama, who had given me all the proofs of her faithfulness, I instituted the Most Holy Sacrament. She was the only worthy creature who could keep, defend and protect my act. See, then, when creatures receive me, I descend into them together with the acts of my inseparable mama. And only because of this can I perpetuate my sacramental life. Therefore, whenever I want to do a great work worthy of me, it is necessary that I first choose one creature first, in order to have a place in which to put my gift. Second, to be repaid for it. They do the same also in the natural order. If a farmer wants to sow a seed, he does not throw it in the middle of the street, but he goes in search of a little field. First he works it, he forms the furrow, and then he sows the seed in it. And to keep it safe, he covers it with earth, anxiously waiting for the harvest in order to be repaid for his work, and for the seed that he entrusted to the earth. Someone else wants to form a beautiful object. First he prepares the raw materials, the place in which to put it, and then he forms it. So I have done for you, I chose you, I prepared you, and then I entrusted to you the great gift of the manifestations of my will. And just as I entrusted the destiny of my sacramental life to my beloved mother, in the same way I wanted to trust you, entrusting to you the destiny of the kingdom of my will. Then, I continued to think about all that my beloved good had done and suffered during the course of his life. And he added, "My daughter, my life down here was extremely short, and I spent most of it hidden. But even though it was so very short, since my humanity was animated by a divine will, how many goods did I not do? The whole church takes from my life, drinking her fill at the fount of my doctrine. Each word of mine is a fountain placed at the mouth of each Christian. Each one of my examples is more than sun that illuminates, warms, fecundates, and makes the greatest sanctities mature. If one wanted to compare all the saints, all the good, all of their pains and their heroism, placed before my very short life, they would always be tiny little flames before the great sun. And since the divine will reigned in me, all the pains, the humiliations, confusions, contrasts, accusations that the enemies gave me during the course of my life and of my passion, everything served to their own humiliation and to their own greater confusion. In fact, since a divine will was in me, it happened with me as with the sun, when the clouds, extending through the lower air, seemed to want to give affront to the sun by obscuring the surface of the earth, covering momentarily the vividness of the solar light. But the sun laughs at the clouds, because they cannot have perennial life in the air. Their life is fleeting. A small wind is enough to make them dissolve, while the sun is always triumphant in its fullness of light that dominates and fills the whole earth. The same happened with me. Everything that my enemies did to me, and even my very death, were like many clouds that covered my humanity. But the sun of my divinity they could not touch. And as soon as the wind of the power of my divine will moved, the clouds dissolved and, more than sun, I rose again, glorious and triumphant, leaving the enemies more humiliated than before. My daughter, in a soul in whom my will reigns with all its fullness, minutes of life are centuries and centuries of fullness of all goods. While wherever it does not reign, centuries of life are only minutes of goods that they contain. And if the soul in whom my will reigns should suffer humiliations, contrasts and pains, these are like clouds that the wind of the divine fire unloads over those who, to their own humiliation, have dared to touch the bearer of my eternal volition. After this, I was thinking about the sorrow of my mama, when, sorrowful and pierced in her heart, she departed from Jesus, leaving him dead in the sepulchre. And I thought to myself, how can it be possible that she had so much strength as to be able to leave him? It is true that he was dead, but it was always the body of Jesus. How could her maternal love not consume her, rather than letting her take one step alone away from that extinguished body? Yet, she left him. What heroism, what strength! But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, "My daughter, do you want to know how my mama had the strength to leave me? All the secret of her strength was in my will reigning in her. She lived a will that was divine, not human, and therefore she contained the immeasurable strength. Even more, you must know that when my pierced mama left me in the sepulchre, my will kept her immersed within two immense seas, one of sorrow, and another, more extensive, of joys and beatitudes. And while that of sorrow gave her all the martyrdoms, that of joy gave her all the contentments. Her beautiful soul followed me into limbo, and was present at the feast that all the patriarchs, the prophets, her father, her mother and our dear Saint Joseph made for me. With my presence, limbo became paradise. And I could not do without letting she who had been inseparable from me in my pains, be present at this first feast of the creatures. And her joy was so great, that she had the strength to depart from my body, withdrawing and waiting for the fulfillment of my resurrection as the fulfillment of redemption. Joy sustained her in sorrow, and sorrow sustained her in joy. To one who possesses my will, neither strength, nor power, nor joy can be lacking. Rather, she has everything at her disposal. Do you not experience this within yourself when you are without me and you feel consumed? The light of the divine fire forms at sea, it makes you happy, and it gives you life.